The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Here's how wild Dallas's win actually was. According to ESPN's metrics, the Cowboys had a 0.1% chance to win after securing the ball with 2:57 to go, trailing by 9 points. But Dak needed just 1 minute and 5 seconds to march down the field and find the end zone himself. And against all odds, they successfully converted the ensuing onside kick attempt. And Dallas got the win thanks to a Greg Zuerlein field goal. But the Falcons, on the other hand, made history themselves, becoming the first team since 1933 to take an L after scoring 39 points with zero turnovers. That's depressing, so we're going to turn it around right now. Later on, we're going to tell you why Dak needs to submit game tape from yesterday to get his big payday. Welcome to NFL Live, just a few hours from Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. Dan Orlovsky's here. Marcus Spears is here. Mina Kimes ready to roll, and plenty of highlights in week two. But in the NFL, the lowlights, all the injuries. Adam Schefter with the latest on injuries across the league, beginning, Adam, with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, Laura, he's got a high ankle sprain that he said the team told him would sideline him 4 to 6 weeks. His goal is to come back sooner than that. He suffered the injury shortly before he scored the touchdown, so he had the injury at the time of this touchdown, but he now will be sidelined for a little bit of time right now. As for Saquon Barkley, he will miss the rest of the season with a knee injury, tore his right ACL, will have surgery in a couple of weeks. That marks the second straight year that Barkley will miss time. Last year, he had the ankle injury about 1 year ago this day. And of course, Tyrod Taylor did not start yesterday's game, had a chest injury. Justin Herbert found out he was starting right before he went out there yesterday, came in and played well. Tyrod Taylor was hospitalized last night, was released, and now is considered week to week. And as for Drew Lock, he's got a severe rotator cuff strain that's going to sideline him about 3 to 5 weeks right now. That means that Jeff Driscoll will be the Broncos starting quarterback when they play Sunday against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Painful injury for Drew Lock to have to bounce back from.
Yeah, Shefty will be updating us on the 49ers injury situation as well later on in the show. Some big updates there. All right, you can't stop Cam Newton at the goal line, right? Well, actually, here's the details on that. The Patriots got the ball with 1 minute and 42 seconds to go at their own 19-yard line. Newton led the charge with a 9-play, 80-yard drive all the way down to the Seahawks' 1-yard line in a crazy game last night. Newton stuffed, though, by L.J. Collier after trying to run it himself out of the shotgun formation. Before the play, Newton found the end zone on 16 of his 20 rush attempts from that distance, including two earlier in this game. And, of course, these two teams are all too familiar with goal line situations. It's only the regular season this time, but the Seahawks were able to stop the Patriots. So, Marcus, the Seahawks also made some great in-game adjustments to New England's style of play. We start with you here. What did you see from that?
Yeah, let's go right back to that goal line play in the second quarter when Cam got the score, Laura. Sometimes it's just about making plays. And if you take a look here, you see Collier and Lano Hill both play hesitant. Collier gets knocked back by Isaiah Wynn. Hill slow plays it because he's trying to figure out what he needs to do in order to get that play stopped, thinking he has outside contained. And then you look at the adjustments that they made. First, beat your man. That's number one. Collier beats Isaiah Wynn, takes away that gap. And look at Lano Hill dive, create a pile, make a cut. He quickly made a decision. So many times we go back to the sideline, we realize what we did and how we fit on certain plays that we gave up runs or either scores to, and the next time that presents itself, that's exactly what coaches expect, for you to correct it and get it right. That's a great job by Seattle self-scouting and fixing a problem, in-game adjustment.
All right, I like it. We let our defensive guy go first. But, Mina, we're only in week two. Is Russell Wilson playing at an MVP level right now?
Yes. I mean, through 2 weeks, he has a completion percentage of 82.5%, and he is second in the NFL in yards per attempt. Those two do not usually go together, right? He's playing out of his mind, but the thing is, Laura, he has to play out of his mind, because what we saw last night from that Seahawks pass rush was not pretty. Yes, Cam Newton was excellent on third down, but he had all day. He could have made a souffle back there. Not even an omelet, a souffle. They were getting no pressure on him with four. He was pressured, I think, 15% of the time. He was hit five times. Three of those times were by Bobby Wagner to Jamal Adams. Without Adams, they've got nothing, and now they're down a safety. They're down Bruce Irvin, it looks like. They're going to have to figure out something really quick, because otherwise this offense is going to have to put up over 30 points a game to keep them in it.
But they're capable of it. You know, like, this is part of this new plan in Seattle. This, for many years, if you heard Seattle Seahawks, everybody went to one of the best defenses in the NFL. Their mind would think of that. Now, I've been trying to implore people, you have to start thinking of Seattle as one of the best offenses in football. Yes. And it's really nowadays, defense, be good enough, keep us in the game, because our offense is going to score enough points. And it's because of all the things that are around Russell and just his confidence pushing the football downfield. David Moore is their third receiver, probably fourth receiving option. This is an outstanding catch. If you think of what DK Metcalf did on the deep ball last night with the best corner in football, Stephon Gilmore covering him. So I'm looking at Seattle and going, no longer is it just hang on as an offense and that defense can carry us. It is, we have now become one of the top three or four offenses in football. There's been only two teams in the last 2 years who have scored 30 plus points on the New England Patriots. The Baltimore Ravens did it last year. And the Seattle Seahawks did it last night. And it's because Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you remember Bill Belichick talking so glowingly all week long about Russell Wilson, and it makes a lot of sense. After last night, Russ is now 3-0 against Belichick. Only John Elway at 4-0 has more wins without a loss versus the head coach in the regular season. So our dude Dan Orlovsky seems to have a new favorite team every week. Have you guys noticed that? All right, look, we aren't going to call it a bandwagon, but it is time to introduce the Dan Wagon. I'm so excited about this. I don't know if you can tell. Dan, are you okay?
You guys just like real quietly put me on blast right
Dan
there.
Dan Wagon. All right, Dan, who do you love so much this week that you're putting him on the Dan Wagon?
I'm not going to take this hate. I'm still going to say it's the Buffalo Bills, and led by Josh Allen. I tried to get people to jump on board last week, and I'm going to continue to pound it on this week. Josh Allen has been so good throwing crossing routes. What do I mean by that is bringing receivers from one side of the field to the other side of the field. A lot of times it's about creating a window. It's about the air that you put onto a ball, allowing receivers to run to space. And so this Buffalo Bills team that's got three really good receivers to throw the football to, a quarterback that's hot and confident, a defense that can cover, a defense that can rush the passer, my bandwagon team for this week is the Buffalo Bills, and my quarterback bandwagon, I'll even continue to go with this, is Josh Allen. I'd put him as the MVP of the football right now through 2 weeks.
Whoa, okay. Mina, why are you reacting that way? The Dan Wagon's out of control.
Does the Dan Wagon have brakes on it? Because you need to pump them. I was with you. I love the Bills. I picked them to win the division. But, Dan, they beat the Dolphins and the Jets, okay? Like, the Josh Allen MVP conversation needs to wait.
The bandwagon has more room for you guys. You guys can jump on board if you'd like.
Marcus, do you like how he won't call it Dan Wagon? He's only saying bandwagon?
Marcus is scratching his head.
He needs to call it Dan Wagon, and that little cartoon standing by that wagon. That's his height for real. People think he that tall, but he really that short. That's the Dan Wagon, though. I'm with Mina. It's the Dolphins and the Jets. I can't wait to see what he gonna do against everybody else. Then I might hop on the Dan Wagon.
Listen, the Dan Wagon's gonna be overflowing by the end of the season. Either way, this guy used to be front seat in the Dan Wagon. That would be Carson Wentz. And look, for Wentz, week one was abysmal. Week two was more of the same. 26 of 43, no touchdowns, two interceptions in the loss to the Rams just hours ago. Even his own head coach, Doug Peterson, scratching his head about what's going on with Wentz.
In Carson's fifth year in the league and fifth year working with you, why are you seeing his production and his performance regress?
Progress?
Regress.
Oh, regress. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I did cut out there a second. You know, it's a good question.
Ooh, Okay, so he did go on, Peterson did go on to say that a lot of this has to do with Carson Wentz just trying to do too much and that he needs to stay within himself a little bit. But, Dan, you saw what he just said there, honesty from Doug Peterson. And is he right to see regression in his quarterback right now?
Oh, absolutely. He's right to see that, but he's not right into figuring in answering it with, that's a good question. You know, he's got to be the coach that figures out those answers. I'd say this. One, are you doing enough to build in the easy completions for Carson Wentz? To kind of take that a little bit of like, I got to try to do so much inside him every single play. A lot like Andy Reid does for Patrick Mahomes. A lot like you did in 2017 for Carson Wentz. And then for Carson Wentz to understand that there's 65-plus football plays in a game, and not every ball needs to get thrown as hard as possibly as it possibly can. Watch his left leg in a lot of these throws. It's locked out. It's perfectly straight. That's what's forcing some of these misses, and all these misses are high. They're all high misses. This is a telltale sign of a quarterback that's going, I don't like this play, or I don't like this play call, or I don't like this situation. I don't trust these people around me. So I have to force this ball. So there's regression, but to sit there and say, I don't know why, is not an accurate thing to say.
You know what this reminds me of? It's like when a little kid gets really into superheroes and they start wearing a cape everywhere. And at first it's cute, but then you're like, you don't really need to wear it to church and school and all the time.
I love it.
That is Carson Wentz. Dude, take off the cape sometimes. You don't have to play hero ball. Take the third quarter interception. First of all, it's the third quarter. You're down 21-16. It's first and 10. You don't need to throw across your body to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in traffic. Maybe in the fourth quarter with the game on the line. But that's a perfect example of the kind of play Dan just described. He is doing too much. The situational awareness is not there. The arm is there. The talent's there. But Dan knows situational awareness is just as important to quarterbacking.
There is no way in hell I'm letting Dan Orlovsky off the hook with what he just said. We had a conversation on this show that Doug Peterson was the best coach, that Philly had the best roster in the NFC East. You said that. Mm-hmm. Now Carson Wentz playing bad. It's Doug Peterson's fault.
No, it's
the play calling fault. No, it's Carson Wentz's fault. He's not playing well. He's playing bad. He's hurting his team. But now all of a sudden, Doug Peterson not calling the right plays, and Doug Peterson ain't the same coach he been. Is that what you telling me?
No.
That this is Doug Peterson's fault that Carson went?
No, not at all. I totally agree that Carson is not playing well. But I'm trying, like, part of my job is to tell, okay, why is he not playing well? And then what can the coach do to potentially try to get him out of his slump, right? To get him some layups, some easy baskets, so he can get himself feeling more confident about what's going on, so he's not forcing the football so much when it's unnecessary. Mina's point for that third quarter interception is totally accurate. There's no shot you should be throwing that ball. But I'm saying to Doug Peterson, there is regression through the first two games. So it's not something where you just sit back and go, yeah, there's regression. We're just going to leave it there, right? Is there something we can do to potentially help him pull himself out of this regression?
Well, Marcus, let me ask Dan something really fast here. You mentioned that Doug Peterson's game plan was a lot different. The offense was a lot different in 2017 when Carson Wentz was blowing the doors off of everybody. Why would he change it?
Well, I think that Carson Wentz has probably signaled, I like a lot of these things. Yeah. I like pushing the football downfield. This is the stuff that we want. They've got those new speedy receivers. I like a lot of things, too. I'd say this. Carson Wentz has got to find discipline within the quarterback position. And then Doug Peterson needs to figure out a way to allow the highs to continue to be the highs, but make sure those lows aren't so low for Carson Wentz. It's 2 weeks in. I'm not panicked. But there's reason to start biting your nails and figuring out what's going on in Philly.
Yeah, I don't know if Marcus Spears is satisfied with that answer, but more on that later. Wentz, by the way, has a QBR total of 27.9 through 2 weeks. Only Dwayne Haskins has a worse mark. Let's do some quick reads. Marcus, what was your favorite play on Sunday?
My favorite play was 49ers, 3rd and 31. And they get the first down. Are you kidding me? But again, it's the Jets. Listen, Kyle Shanahan dialed up a run play. The plan on this run play was to get some yards back so we can get a punt and maybe flip field position. The Jets said, no, Kyle Shanahan, we want you to get a first down because we do not want to send this terrible offense we got back on the field. 49ers, 3rd and 31, they got a first down on a run play. Everybody should be fired.
My favorite was down in the red zone, the Robert Woods reverse off of pre-snap motion and then bring that receiver back across the formation on the reverse. Sean McVay's just putting defenses in complete blenders. I mean, I love to see it. It was a great design, great execution. Talk about creating leverage and numbers matchup for your run game. I loved it.
Hey, did anyone order some beef? The Ravens did. They went jumbo, yes. 23 personnel, direct snap to Ingram. Couldn't really see it there. Patrick Carr, the fullback, had a great block. I mean, this is Baltimore, right? The run game can kill you a million different ways. Lamar was lined up, he was out at wide receiver. Guess he could be a wide receiver, as they were saying. I mean, this team is unreal. I cannot wait to watch them next week.
This catch, one-handed catch by Mike Gesicki, was absurd. The Dolphins tight end is absolutely on a roll. And it's interesting because he did it against a really good Bills defense. He used to do this all the time against Penn State, but we're seeing this now on this stage. I guarantee you Tua was on the sideline like, oh yeah, that guy's good. I'm going to go to him whenever I get in the game for the Dolphins.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Just hours away from Monday Night Football in Vegas, but avert your eyes, 49ers fans. The injury list was already long, and it just got longer on Sunday for San Francisco despite a win. Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Bosa both hurt, so Adam Schefter joining us with the latest. And let's get him in for a little more on this. And Schefty, look, I mean, they did get the win, but it just kept compounding for the 49ers throughout the game. What's the latest on Jimmy Garoppolo first?
Well, we'll start with him, Laura. Essentially, Kyle Shanahan said a short time ago that the high ankle sprain is not severe, that it's going to be a week-to-week injury, and it's possible that Garoppolo could play on Sunday at the Giants in the same stadium in which he was injured yesterday. The 49ers suffered a litany of injuries yesterday. They would have the results back on the knee MRIs on Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas, except in 49ers fashion, the MRI truck that was being dispatched to West Virginia, where they're staying right now in between games, broke down. So the MRI truck didn't make it. And that, of course, came after their team plane got into a fender bender on the way to New York. And so it's not been a smooth ride. In addition, Raheem Mostert is not expected to play on Sunday. Tevin Coleman, the running back, suffered a knee injury yesterday. I'm told he'll miss multiple weeks as well. And so there are a whole slew of injuries here that the 49ers are battling as they prepare to go back into the stadium that was so haunting on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how the team plane gets into a fender bender. But anyway, George Kittle missed the game on Sunday. What's the timetable for him to get back on the field?
He has a sprained medial collateral ligament, and it was explained to me that he is likely to return on Sunday at the Giants. Now, listen, with that knee and with that field and with the history that they went through yesterday, it's possible they could decide to rest Kittle another week and not take any chances. But he certainly sounds like he was tracking to be able to play on Sunday against the Giants. He was walking without a limp last week, like he was in the sidelines right there. And even though it's a sprained medial collateral ligament that would sideline a lot of players for a few weeks, George Kittle is a little bit different than a lot of people.
He is one tough guy. All right, Adam Schefter on Monday Night Countdown right here on ESPN at 6 Eastern. We'll see you there, Schefty.
Thank you, Laura.
From Super Bowl runner-ups to the Super Bowl champs, let's talk a little Patrick Mahomes and company. It was all about another double-digit comeback for the champs yesterday.
He is throwing long. down the field. It's Tyreek Hill makes the catch. Touchdown, Kansas City. And the Chiefs with the 54-yard bomb to the Cheetah. Butker's going to try to win it with a 58-yard field goal. Kick is up.
So the Chiefs got the win, but it was kind of a roller coaster for moments in that game against the Chargers, and not really the dominant Chiefs offense that we've seen at times. Mina, what did you make of Patrick Mahomes and particularly the Chiefs O-line yesterday?
Yeah, so defensive coordinators, if you're watching, I know you are, the Chargers just gave you the formula for stopping Patrick Mahomes. Be really good. That's it. They're really talented up front. That's all it takes, folks, because you can't blitz Mahomes. He showed you that on the 3rd and 20 when they did blitz him and they had their backs turned on him and he scrambled for the conversion. But if you can get pressure with a standard rush and you can contain him on the outside, the Chargers defensive ends, Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram were demolishing those Chiefs tackles. They also got pressure in the middle with Jerry Tillery, which is something they haven't gotten in the past. In the first half, Laura, when they sent just four, they were pressuring him 40% of the time. You saw Mahomes was very uncomfortable. He was drifting back in the pocket, which is something he sometimes does. That's about one of the most challenging halves of football I've ever seen him play. Then the second half game, they got tired. He started doing Patrick Mahomes things, and the rest is history.
I think one of the things that I kind of learned yesterday maybe or haven't appreciated enough about the Chiefs is one of the reasons for their success is not only talent, it's they're all gas, no brakes. There is this never-ending, we are going to be aggressive mindset. Now it helps to have the best player in football, Mahomes, and that's how you have those scrambles on third down or those two throws, the touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill and the two-point conversion to Mecole Hardman, because they just have this belief that is we are going to never stop applying pressure to you as a defense. So Mina brings up a great point. If you're super talented, you can kind of counter that mindset and kind of hold them stymied, but they're just so – their mindset is so strong. That being said – if they play like this next Monday night, they're going to get door stomped by the Baltimore Ravens. They got to play better. They have not executed efficiently. They've been poor on first down. That's why they got into so many third and longs. So it's great when you can win football games in the NFL, but also learn from them, right? Yes. We so often talk about you learn from your mistakes. The Chiefs can go learn from this football game while also sitting at 2-0, and that's going to matter next Monday night.
Yeah, and Marcus, Dan's alluding to next Monday night. This is the Monday night matchup of the entire year, it seems. What can the Ravens take away from saying, hey, here is the blueprint of how you try and slow down Mahomes?
First of all, keep the ball away from him, which they do at a high clip because they are a dominant run game. But the second thing is, look, here's the bottom line. The two games we saw Patrick Mahomes struggle in was against a four-man rush, an unrelenting four-man rush. When you think about what Mina said, a standard defensive rush, basically four guys that can get after it. And Bosa, Joey Bosa and Ingram are two of the best to do it off the edges. We look at the San Francisco D-line. We raved about them all last year, and they were getting to Patrick Mahomes during that Super Bowl for majority of that game. You know what the problem is, Laura, Dan, and Mina? They all lost, both of them, because of number 15. So the Ravens are going to have to not only keep Lamar Jackson with the rock in his hand, but they also are going to have to make timely defensive plays.
Marcus, I want to get your take on something else that happened in that game against the Chargers. What did you think of the Chargers punting on 4th and 1 from their own 34 in overtime? Oh,
Els, I tweeted, I was like, the game over. Anthony Lynn has to go for 4th down. Look, you got a quarterback that's been rolling, a big physical guy. Go get 1 yard. If you can't get 1 yard, you need to lose anyway. Mm-hmm. That's my mindset. But when they gave Patrick Mahomes the ball back, when they were lining up to punt, I tweeted, game over, because you cannot give him that particular situation. He has proven you wrong and people right in that time and time again. Coming back in the playoffs, playing in the Super Bowl, and now we have the latest rendition of don't give Pat Mahomes the damn ball, win the game if you can.
Yeah, Rex Ryan, who's buddies with Anthony Lynn, said this morning on Get Up that Lynn said, look, I really think I have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and that was his reasoning behind doing it. But yeah, still, You make a good point, Marcus Spears. All right, it's my favorite thing we do on Mondays. Marcus Spears, Big Man Ballin', where we give the big men some love. Who balled out, Swagoo?
Oh, you know what time it is. I'm going to Indy with DeForest Buckner. Look at this humble. Oh. This is how you do offensive linemen. Just get him up off you. Shout out to Reggie White, RIP Reggie White. That's where DeForest Buckner got that move from. That's called the hump, getting to the quarterback. My next spot, listen, I'm talking about a big physical man that came out the University of Louisville, and he is dumping people on their head. Watch out, Hyder. Be careful. Mekhi Becton, great feet, big physical dude, and he out there dumping people. This 2 weeks in a row where I'm starting to think you better not run up on this big man because he is going to embarrass you. And my last one is, look, I don't usually do this. I got to be honest. I don't usually give offensive linemen any shine, but I've been around Jeff Saturday quite a bit. Massey with the deflection catch for a first down for the Chicago Bears. Listen, y'all, this is Mitchell Trubisky's year. I don't care what nobody say. The dude throw three touchdowns in the fourth quarter to win the game, and now he got damn offensive linemen catching first downs to keep drives going. This is my rendition of Big Men Balling. Them was some big dudes balling. I remember when I used to do that.
You're still doing it, Swagoo. Can't wait for Monday Night Countdown, and our Week 2 Monday Night Football matchup is the first NFL game in Las Vegas in the Raiders' home opener. Josh Jacobs and the 1-0 Raiders host Drew Brees and the 1-0 Saints. It's 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app with expanded megacast coverage. Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit on ESPN2 with that. But of course, Michael Thomas has already been ruled out of this one tonight, so for the Saints. So how much will that hurt this offense? Take a look at this. Drew Brees' completion percentage is 10% higher when targeting Michael Thomas compared to all other Saints receivers. He's also found great success on those tight window throws to his go-to target. For more on Michael Thomas, let's bring in Lisa Salters from Las Vegas. Lisa, what can you tell us about the Thomas injury and how the Saints will treat it moving forward?
Laura, Sean Payton told us there is no real timetable for Michael Thomas's return, that all he really knows is that Thomas won't play tonight. But Payton did say that he thinks his star wideout is progressing well, or else the team would have put him on IR. Drew Brees is obviously going to miss his favorite target, but told us he'd also like to think his team can beat you in many different ways, that they have the ability to spread the ball around a lot and have plenty of other guys who can be playmakers. As for the Raiders, they're going to be making their debut in this beautiful new stadium with some ugly issues at right tackle. Both Trent Brown and his backup, Sam Young, will be down tonight with injuries, forcing John Gruden to move Denzel Good to right tackle from his normal guard position. Good has played tackle before, but not in the last 3 years. And tonight, he faces the pass rush of Saints Pro Bowl defensive end Cam Jordan. Laura.
Wow, so much to keep our eye on there. Catch more of Lisa on the sidelines for tonight's game. But time now for some game picks with the crew here. Let's start with you, Marcus. Who you taking, Saints or Raiders?
I'm taking the New Orleans Saints because Mina told me that their defense was one of the best. And she also told me Drew Brees was the best quarterback over 35. So I'm taking the Saints. But getting that news just now from Lisa about this tackle situation, the Saints might go 45.
I'm going to take the Saints as well, mainly because I think with Alvin Kamara kind of replacing some of the Michael Thomas stuff, if you watched Carolina attack the Raiders, it was with a lot of underneath shallow crossing routes. I think Kamara has 6, 7, 8 catches for a bunch of yardage. I'll take the Saints.
I am taking the Saints. I am deeply concerned about the offense and Drew Brees, contrary to what Marcus Spears is saying. I have moved off that take, but I still love that defense. I love them against a backup right tackle. Give me New Orleans to win this one.
Yeah, I wish I could make this interesting. I'm also taking the Saints to win it 34-27. I'm with you, Dan. I think Kamara has a huge game and Emmanuel Sanders as well. This is a big time for him to step up there in Vegas. We'll see what happens tonight on Monday Night Football. And each Monday here on NFL Live, we will put a spotlight on the high school football coach of the week. This week, in front of the home opener for the Las Vegas Raiders, we head to Nevada, where David Torres from Greeny Valley High School has led his girls flag football team to a 26- 6-1 record and a second straight Nevada 4A state title in the season that ended in February. Congrats to Coach Torres and the Gators. So awesome to see. All right, I wish I had a dollar every time one of these. You love it. I wish I had a dollar every time one of these analysts said we aren't talking enough about this person or that person. It just seems constant. So, for the first time ever, right here on NFL Live, we debut a new segment. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Marcus, who or what are we sleeping on?
You sleeping on Noah Fant. Mina and I were texting during the Denver game, and we was talking about Noah Fant, and he kept blowing our minds. It's 2 weeks in a row where he's looked like he's in the top echelon of tight ends, especially when you talk about expanding the field. Drew Locke went to him. Driscoll came in. Driscoll went to him. Don't sleep on Noah Fant. Allow him to reintroduce himself.
All right, we've been giving a lot of love to Aaron Rodgers, but how about this Green Bay offensive line, the best in football right now, allowed just one pressure on 38 dropbacks for Rodgers. They're clearing out massive lanes for Aaron Jones, why he's putting up those big numbers. They all deserve more credit than they've been getting.
You guys are all lucky I'm not singing Jay-Z's song because I really want to right now. But let me give you guys Arthur Smith, the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator. Let me give you guys what he's done with this offense since week 7, Ryan Tannehill became the starter. They're number 1 in yards per play. They're number 1 in red zone offense. They're number 2 in third down offense. They're number 3 in efficiency. They're number 3 in yards. And they're number 4 in scoring. He has become one of the 2 or 3 best offensive coordinators in football. He's going to be a head coach in 2021.
Dan, Jay-Z, Orlovsky.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Cowboys trailed the Falcons 29-10 at halftime Sunday, but in the second half, it was entirely Dak Prescott's ball game. He had 6 20-yard completions in the second half alone and passed for 300 yards with 4 total touchdowns, 3 rushing and 1 passing. Patrick Mahomes, the only other QB to put up 304.5 over the last 5 seasons. Good company there. And if you were watching this show on Friday, you know how nervous Marcus Spears was even about picking the Dallas Cowboys to win this game over the Falcons. But either way, Marcus, they made the comeback. How impressive was that comeback for the Cowboys?
Wait. First of all, what in the hell are the Atlanta Falcons doing? Man, how do you lose that game in that fashion after we watch what you went through in the Super Bowl? And I know it's some weeks left in the season, but golly, bro, it can't be y'all again. Let it be somebody else. I think there's a stat out there. The teams that had this type of lead were 440-0. What none of us born on this show when this thing started. You supposed to win those games. But anyway, all of that said, I had to get that off my chest. Dak played great. And I criticized Dak against the Rams last week because you got to justify wanting that amount of money and winning those close games. But to mount a comeback like that and to be as impressive as he was like that, he deserves all the credit. And send that tape to Jerry's office and send it with a blank check, bro.
Yeah, I mean, that's the performance of a $40 million a year quarterback, right? You guys hear me talk about stuff with quarterbacks, and one of the things I say is win the games you're not supposed to. Right. And so yesterday you got a ton of injuries on your offensive line and turnovers and you fall down early. You're down 29-10 and all of a sudden you win games you're not supposed to. One with thorn receivers open And then two, using your eyes to help Michael Gallup go kind of get in the blind spot of this defender and then allow the athleticism to go make that catch. Those are traits that we haven't necessarily seen from Dak when he needed them, right? And yesterday, he needed to have them. And so that was, for me, a shining moment as a Cowboy. Marcus is right. That's something that you can go just place on Jerry Jones's desk and say, this is one, you know, and hopefully there's 14 more. But it was that game was won, and all eyes go to Dak Prescott.
My eyes went to CeeDee Lamb. I mean, Dak was great, okay? But how about the kid? First of all, this is the Dallas offense I signed up for, you know, getting everyone the football. But look at this. Look at this veteran move, okay? The slight extension there. Just a little hand fighting. Not going to get called to break off his route. I mean, that is some pro-level stuff. Dak, honestly, he has three number ones at his disposal. And Dalton Schultz, the backup tight end, had a nice game too, Dan.
Yeah, remember all that when Michael Irvin was talking about the jersey and the number and stuff, but he said, listen, CeeDee Lamb's the real deal. I already knew that, but now I think a lot of other people are starting to figure that out. Mina, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, a lot of fans going nuts on Twitter reacting to Mike McCarthy's decision to go for two after a touchdown that cut the score to 9 with 4 minutes and 57 seconds remaining. They didn't get it. They were still down 9 rather than the kick, the extra point they would have made. It would have been a one-score game at that point. So settle this debate for us. What was the right call there?
Mike McCarthy made the right call. I'm going to try to explain this as simply as I can, okay? When you're down 15, you're going to have to go for it. You're going to have to get a two-point conversion at some point. You can do it now or you can do it later. The odds are the same. It's slightly less than 50%, right, of converting that. Okay, if you do it now and you don't make it, then you know what you have to do, which is exactly what Dallas went out and did. You're going to have to drive down the field. You're going to have to do it quickly twice. You have that knowledge. No, Dan, come on.
Come on, Mina.
What I'm saying.
You're going to
have to do it once.
Simple.
In this
simple.
Case, you actually just know what you have to do afterwards. You're giving yourself more knowledge to do the right thing on offense later instead of waiting until the end of the game when you only have one shot.
Okay, yeah, Dan's brain is just like.
Yeah, my brain. I actually had that situation in a game last year, calling a game, and I'm smart. I just don't get that one.
It's okay, Dan. Let me ask you something else. At one point yesterday, Jason Garrett was trending on Twitter. Some people were like, oh, man, maybe Jason Garrett should still be the coach instead of Mike McCarthy. What do you think of the overall game that McCarthy called?
I think the overall game was this. When you go down at home like that, coaches, a lot of times players will look to their coach to go, all right, how are we going to handle this, right? Like, is my coach going to panic? Are we going to start doing really stupid stuff? And I think it is a credit to Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore that they did not panic, and you watched their team not flinch as well. You saw third quarter play action passes. Most coaches go, abandon our game plan. We're just going to go chuck and duck from empty. And I really appreciate McCarthy and Kellen Moore just going, this is our plan. We're not going to flinch. Continue to try to give ourselves a chance, and it pays off. It's a season-saving win.
All right, we've got time for one more thing before we go. I'm going to go first, and I'm going to start with this. Kyler Murray will win the MVP. I don't know if it's going to be this year, guys, because there's some other good quarterbacks and some other good players out there, but in his two outings so far, Murray has 674 total yards from scrimmage, which includes 5 touchdowns, 2 passing, 3 rushing, former number one overall pick, completing nearly 67% of his throws, averaging roughly 7 yards per play. He's absolutely money. He's going to win MVP, Dan.
Showtime 33, Aaron Jones, a player that we don't, one, talk about enough, and two, give enough credit to. In the last 2 years, he's tied with Christian McCaffrey for the most touchdowns at 23. He's explosive in their run game. He's getting created holes. He's great in the pass game as well. He is a key cog for the best offense in the NFC right now.
We talked about the Chiefs earlier, but how about Justin Herbert, man, coming in 4-for-4 under pressure, looked poised like a pro out there, a couple rookie mistakes, but if I'm a Chargers fan, I'm happy today because that's the future.
And look, we like to have fun. We critique, we criticize, we celebrate the victories of these players on the field. But we, as an NFL Live family, want to send our condolences to James White, whose family was in a tragic accident, lost his father, and I believe his mother is in critical condition. We want to send our prayers to you, man. We feel like we're a part of the NFL family. My history of being in the NFL, I understand when these tragedies take place. It's one for a community to rally around you, especially your brothers in the locker room. saw an outpouring from the NFL, and we want to send our condolences from NFL Live to James White and his family as they work through this time.